We've had comments this morning. We've had comments this morning for that pertained to brothers in particular. And Emil and I have been speaking a little bit, and we think it would be nice to, in particular, take up Dorcas and Phoebe. And then, as we have time at the end of the meeting this afternoon, Priscilla and Aquila. I want to say this, though, before we do the public reading. Questions, again, came up at the lunch table today. Good questions. As to people asking, exactly how do I know when the Lord is leading me or how He's leading me in a certain direction? And I've been thinking of this since we left there. And I want to leave this verse with you. It comes from when the servant goes to find the bride, Rebekah. We remember that story. And the verse says this, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my brethren. That's a wonderful principle to get hold of. My responsibility is to be in the way, to be in His way. To be a willing one, able to be guided by Him. And then it's His responsibility, and He will gladly do that, to lead you and I into those fields that we would work for Him in. And I thought, you know, a couple of good examples, and some of them are personal. How in the world did I ever get involved with young people's work? How did Tony... I remember when John came along. I remember when Emil did. There was a need. And there were brothers and sisters, because this work is not just for the husband. Alexis sitting there, Karen sitting back here. There were those that were willing to be used. Lord, here am I. Send me. I think that's what the Lord is looking for from us. To take our hearts and our minds off of the specific thing and to have our heart tuned to Him as a vessel, meet, ready for the Master's use. That's where we want to be. And when we're there, there's not going to be a lack of things for us to do for Him. We're going to see that as we read about this sister here. So I just thought it's nice to put that into context, that these are not super brothers that you're in the midst of here this morning. We're just brothers who have jobs, who serve the Lord in our local assemblies and sisters, and we seek an opportunity to serve the Lord. And the Lord comes along, and He says, I'll use you for this. Are you willing? I'll use you for this. Are you willing? I'll use you for this. I've suited you more for that. I remember one year when I tried to lead the singing at Grove City with the young people. We had John up there pretty soon, and some of you older ones may remember that. It was pretty much of a disaster. You see, I wasn't suited for that end of what we were doing for. And so the Lord brings those that He's fitted. He's fitted for that purpose, you see. So that's just a little aside. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my brethren.
But Chuck, I think that connects with the analogy that Emil used this morning about the caterpillar. That the caterpillar does not look at its legs to determine where it's going, or else it would be entangled. But rather the caterpillar is occupied with the purpose for which he's here. And I think just to take maybe that just a little further, it helps to see the benefit or the results of that talent that we have. What happens to the caterpillar later on?
It was eaten up by the bird.
No. If he's not engaged with looking at himself, but he's engaged with his purpose, he becomes a butterfly.
That's right.
There is advancement. Just as Philip moved from the realm of serving tables, evangelical work, and growth and development, the beautiful the caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. Mm. Movement.
Amen. Well, we're in Acts 9 and verse 36. Perhaps to the end of the chapter for whoever would read that for us.
John Michael, you want to read that chapter for us, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Starting at verse 32.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up loud and clear.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two women desiring him that they would not delay to come to them. When Peter arose and went with them, when he was come, they brought him up into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a Tanner.
Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful testimony. I might have been surprised to see a disciple beside her name. But it brings us back to the truth of what is a disciple. A disciple is a learner, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And it's not a brother. A disciple is a brother or a sister. Here it was. There was at Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And what a description. This woman was full of good works. Isn't that something? This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. And I think it's not without significance that the last three words say, which she did. Service involves work, doesn't it? Work for him.
Significant that she was called disciple. I think this is the only time in the Word of God we have the Greek word for female disciple. So the Spirit of God wanted to make it clear to all of us that discipleship does not only involve brothers, but also involve brothers and sisters. And a disciple is the one who is the idea of being under certain kind of, you know, when you go to college, what discipline you're taking. You know, it's somehow to be a form to be like your master. So if you are a brother or a sister, the whole idea of a disciple is to be like the master. That is the whole idea of a disciple. The master is the Lord Jesus, and every one of us strive by the grace of God to be like him.
We have in what we looked at earlier today that Philip was full of the Holy Spirit. And here you have Dorcas was full of good works. And I'd like to make the connection that she was only able to be full of good works because she was full of the Spirit of God. Not to belabor the point, as Emil has said, but the connection to discipleship means that as the Lord was a man who moved around here on earth in complete, his steps were the steps of a man that were ordered by God. Every step he took was pleasing to his God and Father. We read in Colossians that here was a man in whom the Godhead dwelled bodily, fully enveloped him as a man. And so as a disciple, Tabitha Dorcas, she was one as well that was fully led by the Spirit of God. As young people, sometimes we start well. My mom used to tell us, you know, it's not only good to start well, It's better to finish well.
Amen.
Full. When her life was taken from her, when God called her back to himself, the testimony was, not that she did some good things. You know? Well, you know, they started out well. They started helping this, and you know, they started doing something else over there, and that job wasn't really done, and they started driving the bus, and they started to do this. But it gives the indication here that from the beginning to the end, whatever the task was, that she did it well, and that it was plentiful. She was full of good works.